Okay, this is going to be, just be prepared now, this is going to be a little bit wild. But it's important before Purim to allow our imagination to broaden a little, no? So let's start from here. Okay, some of this Akiva will recognize, and some of this he won't. Akiva's like my secretary of what I said in the last 3 years. Okay, you ready? Let's begin with Mordechai not bowing down to Haman. So, Vayoimru Avdei HaMelech Asher B'Shar HaMelech. The Avdei HaMelech Asher B'Shar HaMelech, the servants of the king, said to Mordechai, Madua Ata Oiver. I'm going to speak quickly, by the way, tonight. Post Ma'ariv Shir, you can't talk slowly. You fall asleep between words. So hold on to your seats, okay? You ready? Madua ata over al mitzvah samelech. The Avdei HaMelech asked Mordechai, why are you being over on the mitzvah of the melech? Meaning, why are you being over on the chiyuv that the melech commanded that we should bow down to Haman? Now, the mitzvah samelech is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that when it says Melech in the Megillah, it's referring to Hashem. So it comes out that they were asking him, Madua ata over al mitzvah HaMelech? Why are you being over the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was a mitzvah to bow down to Haman. But the pshat is, Alpi the Medrash. The Medrash says, too fast, Josh? The Medrash says, people said to Mordechai, I don't understand something. Of course you're allowed to bow down to Haman. Didn't your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Yaakov bow down to Haman's great-great-great-grandfather Esav? Doesn't it say in Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov bowed down to Esav 7 times? So Mordechai responded. He says, you're 100% right. I think I mentioned this when you were here in Waterbury for Shabbos 2 weeks ago. You're 100% right. I should look at what my grandfather did. And even though it's true that Yaakov Avinu bowed down to Esav, and even though it's true that the Imahis bowed down to Esav, and even though it's true that the Shvatim bowed down to Esav, but at the time, my grandfather Binyamin was not yet born, and Rachel was pregnant with him. And in his mother's stomach, Chazal say he straightened up like an arrow and refused to bow. And even though she was bowing, he refused to bow. So what Mordechai said to them, it's true. It's definitely 100% true that Yaakov Avinu bowed, but my grandfather didn't bow. What's different about Binyamin that he didn't bow? So Chazal tell us that Binyamin is special. Because Shevet Binyamin is special, Ubein Ksef of Shochein, Shevet Binyamin is special that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in Shevet Binyamin. Even though most of the Beis HaMikdash is in Shevet Yehuda, the little tip of the Beis HaMikdash where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in Shevet Binyamin. And because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in Shevet Binyamin, Mordechai should not bow. What on earth does that mean? And when some of you were in Waterbury for Shabbos 2 weeks ago, I mentioned this by Shalosh Shudas, and I said, I'm not explaining now what it has to do with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but I'm going to explain it now. Okay? And it says follows. The pshat is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely good. Completely, completely good. There's not an ounce of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's not good. There's not a corner, not an area in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos or anything about Hashem that you could call not good. Nothing. Zero. And yet, the world is full of evil. And the world has so much ra in it. And philosophers for many generations would ask themselves, I don't understand. How could a good God cause so many bad things to happen? And many philosophers have made up their own fantasies to try to explain how that makes sense. But in Klal Yisrael, we know that the pshat is as follows. The reality is that there is no such a thing as ra. Ra, evil, tumah, michshel, tsar, darkness. It's all a facade. It's something that does not really exist, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have bechira, and therefore he created the facade, the perception, thank you, of evil in the world. And he commanded us to keep away from it. Even though it's just a perception, in reality it's nothing. It's all a game. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have Bechirus. He said, this we're going to associate with Ra. This is Toiv. Keep away from the Ra. Choose the Toiv. And you have to, and our life in this world, what is our life in this world? Our life in this world is to make Havdalah. Our life in this world is to make Havdalah. And the Havdalah that we're supposed to make is to be Mavdil, Ben Kodesh L'Chol, Ben Or L'Chayshech, Ben Toiv L'Ra, even though it doesn't say those words. But to make that Havdalah, to use our Seichel to make the Havdalah between good and bad. Is there bad in the world? No. But Hashem created a perception of bad and gave us the job to separate ourselves from good and bad. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no bad. So even though in all levels of the Bria, whatever the different madrigas of the Bria are, there's good and bad, good and bad, good and bad, in different levels. But when you come in front of Hashem, lefnai v'lefnim, in the inner sanctum, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have good and bad, you just have good and good. And that madriga, that you do not have ra at all, it does not exist, is represented by one place in the world, and that's called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim, not Kodesh and Chayil, not Kodesh and Tumah, Kodesh and Kodesh. Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim represents a place that there's no Ra at all. And therefore, Mordechai said to Esav, Mordechai said to Haman as follows. He said, my grandfather Yaakov bowed down to Esav because in this world, sometimes we have to acknowledge evil. And sometimes we have to even be machnia ourselves in certain situations to it. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. There's a perception of evil and we have to deal with that. But that's all in this world. But I carry the Kodesh HaKadoshim in my chelek. I represent a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's clear. And in reality, there is no evil, so I'm not mesiaches to you at all. Like, come v'loiza, you're nothing to me. I'm not mesiach. You're non-existent. Amalek does not exist in front of Hashem. It's nothing. That's what Haman told. That's what Mordechai told Haman. Haman was very, 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 very angry. And Haman said that I can't just kill Mordechai because I have to kill the whole nation of Mordechai. Why can't he just kill Mordechai? He's the one that wasn't bowing. Because Haman realized that this that there's a Mordechai is just because there's a Klal Yisrael. And in a Klal Yisrael, there's going to be that person that represents that Madrega. If he kills Mordechai, there'll just be someone else that represents that Madrega. Mashal Amadavar Daima. I saw recently a mashal that a Rebbe once gave his Chassidim when he went to Daven. And they were all davening, and the Rebbe was davening, and the Chassidim were davening. And the Rebbe was davening for much longer than the Chassidim. And the Chassidim are standing around waiting for the Rebbe to finish. And the Rebbe doesn't finish. And finally the Chassidim look at each other. They shrug their shoulders like, okay, fine, we'll leave. And they leave. And when the Rebbe turns around, he sees the Chassidim are gone. So he gives them the following mussar. And he says, you guys are a mushel to a rear bird that was sitting on the top of a tree. And a bunch of people gathered together and they wanted to climb up to be able to get that rear expensive bird. And each one climbed on the other one's shoulders, going higher and higher, forming a human ladder to be able to get to the top of the tree. But the people on the bottom couldn't see what the people on the top were doing. So at some point they were just like, okay, what are we sticking around here for? So they walked away. And the people on the top couldn't get the bird. So the Rebbe said to his Chassidim, maybe you didn't know what I was doing, but I needed you to be able to accomplish what I'm accomplishing. Don't walk away while I'm davening. I need you. Mordechai also needed Gans Klal Yisrael to be able to be Mordechai, and Haman knew that. And he knew the only way to eradicate an element in Klal Yisrael that claims to have no hisyachsus, you don't even exist, Amalek, on that Madrega, is to get rid of the entire nation of Mordechai. And therefore, his wife told him, Yasu Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Ama. Build a tree. I'm just laughing because I'm so excited about what I'm about to tell you. Build a tree that's 50 Amos high. 50 Amos represents all the Madregas. As you know, there are 50 Madregas. Like in Mitzrayim, they were on the 49th level of Tumah. If they had slipped into the 50th, they wouldn't be able to come out. There's also 50 levels of Kedusha, just like there's 50 levels of Tumah. And in all of the levels, the Sfasemis tells us, the Sfasemis on Purim says, B'chol HaMadregas, in all 49 levels, there's good and bad. Maybe as you get higher, there's less bad and more good. But there's a little bit of good and bad in every madrega, with one exception. The 50th. The Shar HaNun. The 50th madrega, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Hashem Echad. There's no evil there at all. But that's what Haman was fighting against, right? Haman was fighting against that place where evil does not exist. Haman wanted to Haman said, I belong there also. So Haman wanted to represent that by doing what? By making an Eitz Gavoya? Chamishim Ama. Now, if you want a little bit of a proof that Binyamin represents the Shar HaNun, I'm going to tell you something incredible. In yesterday's parsha, we read about the Ephod. And on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, there were two stones. Shisha Mishamaisam Al Ho'even Ho'echas. There's Shisha, there's Shemais, Shisha, and there's Sarim, Al Ho'even Ha'shenis. Very good. There were six Shvatim on one shoulder, six Shvatim on the other shoulder. Says Rashi in Parshas Tetzaveh, look it up by the Ephod. Says Rashi that there were 50 letters. If you count up all the Oisiyos, there were 50 letters. Oh, the Gemara in Saita, I think on Daf Lamed Vav, asks, 1 second, there were only 49 letters. And for the Gemara, Binyamin is spelled with an extra Yud. So who puts in the 50th? Binyamin. That's Binyamin. So that's the Shar HaNun, that's Shayach to Binyamin, which is Shayach to Mordechai, which is Shayach to Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's why Haman wanted to make an Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Amah. But you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes Rishayim are so hungry to spread their evil that they end up swallowing themselves alive. Because Haman could have functioned in the 49 levels. But as soon as he touched the 50th level, he does not belong there. He swallows himself up. So what does the Melech say? Vayomer HaMelech, Teluhu Olav, hang Haman on his tree. Because he tried to create an Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Amah. He thinks he's going to create evil on the 50th Madrega. That's what killed him. Vayomer HaMelech, Teluhu Olav, and he gets hung on his own tree. Now let me point out something to you, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper for just a few minutes. Okay? As if this wasn't deep enough. Okay? Here goes. So what does that mean? On the 49 Madregas, there's Tov and Ra. And what's our job? Is to separate the Tov from the Ra. That's our job. What Madrega, what Mida do you need to make Havdalah? Im ein what Havdalah minayin? The Gemara says, "Im ein das havdala minayin." That's why in Shmaya Esrei we say havdala atachin antanu in chaynein hadoas. Because in order to differentiate between things, you need discernment. You need das. Purim represents the destruction of Amalek because Amalek tried to head into a place that there's no ra. Right, that's what Purim represents, Haman's attempt to infuse Ra into a place where there is no Ra. Okay, and that's Haman's destruction. So in the world of the Nitzachin over Haman, is there Toiv and Ra? No. So do we need to make Havdalah? No. So do we need Das? No. Ah, Chayev Inish, Levsume Bipuria, Adeloyada. You don't need das on Purim. You don't need to be Adelayoda bein Ar Haman Lebaruch Mordechai, because Purim represents there's no ra. There is no ra. Okay, footnote. This Shabbos, I was sitting by a kiddush and shul, and somebody told me that he read a story about Rav Huttner, and even though he tries to have emunas chachamim, he is skeptical. He's skeptical. About if Rav Huttner said that, he's skeptical about the Vart. And it was printed in one of these things that float around the tables. And it comes from Rabbi Gladstein's Sefer on Purim, where he was a Talmud of Rav Huttner, and he quotes Rav Huttner. And apparently he says the following story. He says that Rav Huttner was trying to explain what happened, that as you know, initially the thought was to make Purim a yontif with Isser Malacha, where we would make Kiddush and we wouldn't do Malacha, different kind of Yantif. And And Rav Huttner said they couldn't do that. They weren't makabel that. Why? Said Rav Huttner, because if you're going to have Yontif with Isser Malacha, then you need to make Havdalah. And they would never make, you can't make Havdalah from Purim. So this guy said, I don't know, like, what, he was so excited about Purim, you can't make Havdalah, like, I don't know, something doesn't seem right to me. So I told him then the following, and then we're going to connect it to what I just said. But I told him then, I said, no. First of all, you have to know Rav Huttner's Torah, and then you can understand. Because Rav Huttner said the following thing, which you guys are going to love this, okay? He says, imagine that there are two people that are ill. One of them is ill with a physical illness, and one of them is ill with depression. The one that's ill with a physical illness has a tremendous yeshua, and he gets better. And the one that's ill with depression also has a tremendous yeshua, and he gets better. And they both make a suda saida. They both have tremendous simcha. They both set up a suda. They both have a party. Tremendous simcha that they're better. The joy by the party of the one that was physically sick is a reaction to the fact that he was healed, right? The joy by the party of the one who was depressed is the healing. That's the Yeshua. So every time he gets happy, he experiences the Yeshua again, so he gets happier, which then makes him happier, and it's endless. Said Rav Huttner, other Yomim Tovim have Gvulim, because something happened, we're happy. But Haman and Amalek, as you know, Asher Karcha Baderech, they try to cool us off in our Avodas Hashem. They try to make us not on fire. They try to make us not excited to be servants of Hashem. So when Purim comes and we get excited, it's not just like, oh, I'm excited. The excitement is the Nitzachin. So then we get excited on that, because we keep experiencing the Nitzachin, so it never ends. So I told this guy, that's why you can't make Havdalah. Good? But according to what we're saying now, it's a much deeper thing. Rav Huttner held, apparently, if this is true, that Rav Huttner said this, Rav Huttner held, you can't have Havdalah from Purim. There's no Havdalah on Purim. Adela yoda, main das Havdalah minayin. How could you have Havdalah from a day that there's no das? No such a thing. It's an interesting thought. Okay. Let's go deeper. If Haman tried to conquer an area that he was not given to conquer, not his area, an area of Kulay Toiv, an area of Lefnai V'Lefnim, an area of pure goodness, that's what Haman tried to conquer. So the Nitzachin over Haman came from there. Because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a place, there's a makay, Mashar Nun, a Lefnai V'Lefnim, a Kodesh Kadoshim, that's Kulay Toiv, Hashem created us B'Tzelem Elokim, right? We're B'Tzelem Elokim. So that means that there's a place inside of us that's Kulay Toiv also, and we know that the Sfarim say that every single Yid, even though we have a Yetzirah and a Yetzirah Tov, it's not evenly balanced, because there is a place behind the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov that's just Kulay Tov. Ritzaynenu lasis es ritzaincha, a place in us that's absolutely good. And when Haman, in Yiddish we would say, when Haman shepherd, when he started up with that place that's Kulay Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fought him with the power of the place that's Kulay Toiv, Mida Keneged Mida. And that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not look at the good and bad in Klal Yisrael on Purim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim looks at deeper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks past our Yetzirah. We struggle, no? We struggle. The good, the bad, the good, the bad, the good, the bad. None of that is relevant once tomorrow night comes. On Purim, Hashem, like an arrow, Hashem goes through all of that, and Hashem sees our Kodesh HaKadoshim. Haman tried to start up with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Look at my Klal Yisrael, look at their Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's not an ounce of evil in the heart of any Yid in this Kodesh HaKadoshim. Every Yid just wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Machtzis HaShekel destroyed Haman. because the Machzis HaShekel represents the part that all of us are the same. All the other nedavos of the Mishkan, the gold, the copper, everyone gave as much as they wanted. But by the Machzis HaShekel, everyone gave the same amount. Why? Because the Machzis HaShekel represents the deepest part of our Ratzon to serve Hashem, where it is endless and complete in all of us. Okay? That's why the Machzis HaShekel, when Haman came and gave Shkalim to Achashverosh, Hashem was like, sorry, Haman, Machzis HaShekel. Because Haman's trying to start up with the Lefnai V'Lefnim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, you don't understand the power of the Lefnai V'Lefnim of Klal Yisrael. And that's why we could just get drunk and be stupid and say, make weird comments and sit in the Purim Suda and cry, you know, and talk to ourselves and dress up in strange costumes, you know, with all kinds of interesting philosophical themes, and it all doesn't matter. It really all doesn't matter. We could sit around like a bunch of drunks. It really doesn't matter, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking at our Havdalah, at our Das. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at our essence, and our essence is complete Kedusha. And Haman was trying to get at our essence too. That's why Haman said he wants to kill all Jews, whether they're from or not from. Right? He just wanted to kill Jews, because Haman knew that he was attacking the part of the Yid that's deeper than Tov and Ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yep, sorry, but that is off limits. There is no Haman, you will never, the Yetzirah, no matter how hard it tries, can never touch the part of us that's Kulay Tov. And that's the power that we have on Purim. Esther Hamalkas teaches us that we could go deeper on Purim than we ever do. Esther Hamalkas nichnas el hamelech asher loy kadas. She goes into the king, to the area that's not the normal way. It's not the normal place. She goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. She goes deeper in front of Hashem. And that's the power that every single one of us has on Purim. We are completely holy on Purim. I know we all have our stuff. We all have our baggage. We all have our mistakes. We all have the areas that we feel like we're low, that we've fallen, that we're defiled. Put that all away. Put it all away. Wrap it up. Packing tape around it. Put it all away. On Purim, you, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, myself, the Chazon Ish, Akiva, we're all the same. Okay? We are all the same. We are all children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're all completely holy. We're all unconditionally loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the only thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is that we should unconditionally love each other. And that's why we give Shalach Manes and Matanis Levyainim, and we try to make each other happy. Okay, so take the chizuk of Purim, get the fires burning, remind ourselves, kesef, Machzis HaShekel was kesef, right? Kesef means desire. Kisufin, kesef means desire. Let's become aware of the deepest desire of a Yid. The deepest desire of a Yid is Va'ani kervas elikim li tov, that I want to be close to Hashem. Good night. I told you it was going to be wild.